3. Black Rage, Drugs, and a Communist Mentor. In Dreams from My Father, Obama describes himself as a misfit as he enters Punahou School. The expensive, prestigious prep school, located on carefully manicured, gate-enclosed grounds, is an incubator for island elites. Obama had been on a waiting list, and his grandfather had to use influence from his boss, a Punahou graduate, to get Obama in. The only serious wage earner in the extended Obama family at this time was Obama's grandmother, Madeline Dunham, who by December 1970 had worked her way up to be the Bank of Hawaii's first female vice president. Madeline's husband, Stanley Dunham, according to the account Obama gives in his autobiography, continued struggling in furniture sales as he experimented with selling insurance to supplement their income, two activities Obama describes as being less than lucrative. While Obama's classmates at Punahou lived in split-level homes with swimming pools, he worked at a burger chain and Baskin-Robbins before graduating. Through all this time, Madeline saved what she could from her bank salary to pay Obama's tuition at this privileged private college preparatory school. A young black man struggles for acceptance at an institution of privilege, where he finds himself growing so angry and disillusioned at the world around him that he turns to alcohol and drugs. That is how Chicago Tribune correspondents Kirsten Shannonberg and Kim Barker sum up the version of his life Obama likes to present today to the voting public. Unfortunately, the reporters note, the reality of Obama's narrative is not that simple. The truth would have to be phrased much more harshly. A young man of mixed race identifies more with his African blood, rejecting his white mother and his African father, both of whom have abandoned him, as well as rejecting the white grandparents who have sacrificed economically to raise him, as he struggles to fit into an elite school where radical anti-colonial political philosophy, drugs, and an older socialist mentor help him find his identity as an African American in the heritage of his Muslim father. Much of this drama went on in Obama's head as he sought refuge in his bedroom, reading angry African American authors express their black rage in print. As he withdrew inward, he began experimenting with drugs and drinking alcohol, using marijuana and cocaine, but stopping at heroin. On the outside, teenage Barry Obama, as he was known at Punahou, went out for the school basketball team and did his best to fit in socially while struggling to make modest grades. A member of the varsity squad, though not a starter, Obama was called Barry the Obama by teammates because of his long shots. Obama's friends at the time do not remember Obama as an angry black kid. Instead, they remember him as fairly normal, just one of them. How were his grades at Punahou? The one time Obama Sr. visited him in Hawaii, the only memory Obama Jr. had of his father in person, the two of them fought over Barry's laziness about homework. Obama Sr. decided to be the Grinch that stole Christmas, demanding his son turn off the television and quit watching that animated movie so he could turn his attention to his next day's assignments. "Barry, you do not work as hard as you should," his father reprimands him. "Go now before I get angry at you." Obama writes that he dutifully but resentfully obeyed, going to his room and slamming the door, only to be saved by his grandfather, who, after Obama's father had left their apartment, came into Barry's room to tell him his father had no right to come in and bully everybody, including me, after being gone all this time. Barry's report on his father's visit was less than enthusiastic. After a week of my father in the flesh, he wrote, I decided that I preferred his more distant image, an image I could alter on a whim or ignore when convenient. As for the real-life father, Barry further comments, If my father hadn't exactly disappointed me, he remained something unknown, something volatile, and vaguely threatening. In writing that, Obama is also letting us know that he'd grown accustomed to his grandparents and their inability or unwillingness to discipline him. Obama's autobiographical account of Punahou glosses over his first years after returning from Indonesia, almost immediately jumping to focus on Obama's teenage years. He invents a character he names only as Ray, evidently to protect his privacy. Obama says he and Ray became easy friends, due in no small part to the fact that together we made up almost half of Punahou's black high school population. Of the school's 1,700 students, most were white. Reading carefully, we notice Obama described himself as a black student, not a mixed-race student, or half African-American and half white. Although Ray was a senior in high school when Obama was a sophomore, the big brother age difference probably enhanced their friendship. As Obama tells the story, what held him and Ray together was race. The Chicago Tribune tracked down the real Ray and found him to be Keith Kakugawa. Like Obama,